News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
It must be Saturday, Melissa. We're in the closet again over here at iHeartMedia, and they're talking on the radio and about history.
I want windows in our closet.
Well, you can't really
it's
do
so
that.
It's so nice outside. Yes, you can. I've seen really nice big studios that have glass.
I'm glad when the mics work, okay?
That's true.
You want a window, that's extra.
I got a coat hanger off the roof here send signal out.
But it is the El Paso History Radio Show, as we are wont to do on most Saturdays of the world here. And as we say, Texas history begins in El Paso. We're not wrong.
That's true. I mean, nobody can prove us wrong at all.
What can they find us? Internet and where else?
They can go to ktsmradio.com and click on the iHeartRadio app, and they can listen to us on their smartphone, their tablet, or listen to us live on their computer anywhere in the world or the universe.
I always want to know if you can do that underwater, but maybe. I don't care.
Well, I guess, yes, you can, because there's phones, your smartphones you can take underwater. Maybe
why would
a submarine.
You do that?
Hey, maybe there's somebody in the ocean that's listening to us right now.
Call us if you are. Yes. Hey, in the meantime, we're going to do history as we always do. We got trivia as well.
That's right.
And the trivia today is going to be about the books that our guest has brought. So tell us some of the notions that we have to give away.
Well, we're going to have a wonderful option, as always, with Pepe's in Canutillo. They're great New Mexican food. It's a $20 coupon. And we're also going to have an El Paso gold DVD. And we've also got books today. Are we doing the gold? Or an opportunity for
we'll
a
make
book?
It, we'll make it an opportunity to get the book, get the DVD, get the Pepe's. Here are the books you got.
Our guest is going to be giving away one of these books.
Well, at least.
At least one of these. We got Billy the Kid's Grave, Screen with a Voice, Giovanni Maria de Agostini, and La Posta. And these are all of our guest books he's written, David E. Thomas. And so we have an opportunity. So we got some great things. Pay attention today, kids.
But just real quick, David, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm very good. It's a great pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Welcome to be here. Also, just a note on this book signing business. We're going to do a book signing today at Pepe's, of all places. What a choice, huh?
Have some great food. Meet Dave, buy some books, get him sign it, personalize it.
We're going to talk about these books today because it has a lot to do with the history of our region. We do everything that we can about the area, basically where the transmitter goes.
That's right.
And the transmitter goes all over southern New Mexico, so we do a lot of southern New Mexico history. West Texas is also good, but the stuff happening in El Paso often connects to New Mexico very easily.
Oh, well, yeah.
With the history.
We're so interrelated. You can't get away from it.
So today we're going to talk a number of things, and also don't forget the book signing is today. We can get out there probably by about 12:30,
yeah,
give or take, and then let David get something to eat.
Doesn't Pepe's also sell your DVDs out there?
Yeah, oh yeah, we got our DVDs out there. If you're
get your history on right there, at Pepe's.
By the ton, we got history going on out there. Sorry. All right. Well, David, you got all kinds of history going on. And you said you've been writing books now for, about 12 years?
I started writing history books about 7 or 8 years ago. Before that, I wrote some computer programming books and some that sort of stuff.
Well, but in the meantime, you got the history on the brain because you now live in Las Cruces, right?
That's right. And most of these books I spent 5 years on researching. The Billy Kid's Grave book, which just came out in January, was basically 5 years of research. Of course, not totally devoted to that, but I mean in addition to the other projects I was researching.
Well, there's a lot to it, and what I think we should do is probably just turn you loose on some of these concepts, because the history is pretty intense. And why did you want to do a book about the grave?
Well, I am planning to do a book about the trial, and I consider myself an expert on Billy the Kid's trial. It's one aspect of his story that very little has been written about, because there are virtually no documents. It turns out that the documents were stolen out of the Las Cruces courthouse in the 30s. And by visiting archives from as far as Washington, D.C. to California, Denver, a number of different states, I managed to put together 58 of the documents. And so as a result, I know everything about the trial, and that no one else really has found most of those documents.
Okay, where was this guy born?
He was born in New York. There's no doubt about that. The year's a little bit in dispute. Virtually every historian agrees on 1859. Some have a month, some don't. The location is approximately where the World Trade Center was today.
Oh, so New York City then.
Yeah, that's odd.
New York City! Yeah, get a rope! Well, we know that one.
Because people would not expect that.
No, that's a bit different for a Wild West dude to be born in New York City, but a lot of people got up and left and came over here.
Yeah.
Yes. They'd had it with whatever they were
doing. Midwest young man.
Yeah.
The story about him is kind of interesting. No one knows for sure who his father was. His mother was Kathleen McCartney. They don't know where he picked up the name Boney, whether she had a relationship with someone named Boney or not. But what evidently happened was he was running around New York kind of as a juvenile delinquent, and New York had a program of rounding up kids when they were about 13, 14, or 15 and sending them west. And one of the major historians makes a strong case that that's what happened to Billy. They sent him to the west, and his mother, his older brother, and himself were sent to the west, and they became they moved into the household with William Antrim, who eventually married his mother and became his stepfather. And then, and so that was in Kansas. After a fairly short period in Kansas, his mother and William Antrim went to Santa Fe, where they got married. They were there for a few months, and then they went to Silver City.
Okay, this is an interesting story, obviously, because Billy the Kid is one of the major figures of the Old West. And he wasn't so much an Old West gunfighter as he was more even a warrior up in the Lincoln Wars.
Yeah, that's essentially what led to his death. When he died, everybody said he'd killed 21 men. He was 21 when he died, one for every year in which he'd lived. And they believed that until real historians started doing research in the 30s. There's a little bit of dispute, but basically he probably killed about five people. Three were quite justified, essentially self-defense. The last two he killed escaping from the jail, the courthouse in Lincoln. And at that point, he was faced with the question of, you know, either hang or what is he going to do to escape. And in his case, he was willing to kill two people to escape.
Did somebody put a gun in the outhouse for him?
That's a story, but my research shows that it was never a contemporaneous story. And I go into that in my book, Billy the Kid's Grave. The newspaper articles that came out at the time, and there was an immense number of them, did not mention that. That emerged as a story about 20 years later.
So you've got four books today. We're going to focus perhaps this hour a bit more on the first book, because that's the one you've just put out, Billy the Kid's Grave.
Yes.
And again, a reminder to people, you say here, a history of the Wild West's most famous death marker. Now, there are people at Concordia Cemetery who would argue with you.
I know, and I admit that that's very high on the list, but on the other hand, it's not a state park.
Okay, but yeah. you at least say it's a close second if it's not first.
It's quite close, and it's a very interesting. I've been out there, of course, a couple of times. It's a very interesting place to visit.
Yeah, well, the graves being what they are, that's what's left of the Old West quite often to go see. Now, the one that the grave we're talking about here, Billy the Kid's grave, is where?
It's in Fort Sumner in New Mexico.
That's right.
What can you tell about the details? It's got to be interesting.
Well, it's very a good part of the book is devoted to all the amazing things that have happened to the grave. It was marked initially after Billy was killed. Of course, he was killed in the bedroom of Pete Maxwell at Fort Sumner. The old fort had been bought by Lucien Maxwell, Pete's father, and was essentially a private enterprise at the time. The grave was marked with a pair of slats. Within a few years, and
oh, with a what?
A pair of slats from a fence, wooden slats from a fence.
I thought you meant slacks like old jeans. No,
standing straight up.
Shortly after it was put there, a squadron of soldiers put a bunch of bullet holes in it, and I've got a picture that was a simulated picture of what it's like in the book. But anyway, within a few years, that was completely gone. And so then, over the years, the big question was where actually was he buried?
You mentioned a flood might have moved it or something.
Yeah, I address three myths in my book, and I would say if you haven't read any books about Billy the Kid, maybe this would be the one to start with.
Well, I read about the first umpteen pages, and you very much clearly did the chronology of Billy the Kid.
And as much as possible, I tell it in contemporaneous sources. It's all footnoted. Virtually every paragraph is footnoted.
So you consider yourself a footnote historian. You're doing the details on this.
Yeah, when I pick up a history book, first thing I look at is see if it has footnotes. If it doesn't, I'm disappointed.
Yeah. Well, also we know some people that write books without a table of contents and without an index either.
That's right.
And boy, that makes
or footnotes.
Oh,
that's right.
And no
or footnotes. Credits.
No footnotes at all. And they take all the credit, but that's not here. What you've done is a more like a term paper, as I remember as a kid. You had to put footnotes on the darn thing so people could go check you out.
Make sure you knew what you're saying.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
What I try to do, of course, is base all my books on primary resource. So when I first started, I got interested in New Mexico history, and I would pick up Nolan, perhaps the most famous historian on Billy the Kid, and I call him the human vacuum cleaner because he's found so many primary sources. And so very early on, I set my own goal. My motto is to find something Nolan hasn't found.
Oh, that's a pretty noble goal.
And I have found some things, particularly on the trial and so on. But I would start with a book like his, and I'd look at the footnote, and the footnote would reference a newspaper, say, in 1878 or 1874 or something like that. Then my goal is to find that paper. And most of the times it was on microfilm. Most of the time you had to go somewhere. To do it. Mm-hmm. I've had to go to Dallas. I've had to go to Denver. I've had to go to Colorado. You would think that all these newspapers would be available in New Mexico, but lots of times they're not. For example, the Fort Sumner newspapers are not on microfilm. They're only available in the courthouse in Fort Sumner. And so you follow that lead, and so you follow the footnotes that the previous historians have used to justify what they're saying, and they have maybe written one sentence based on a newspaper article. You get the original newspaper article, and you may find there's a lot of other information in there that's valuable.
Well, and it's even amazing some of the stories I have found about El Paso in New York newspapers and Chicago newspapers from back in the early and late 1800s. It just it blows me away.
Well, and see, newspapers have come online in the last 4 or 5 years.
Oh, yes. It makes it so much easier.
I subscribe to that service. And so as a result, you can find newspapers that, for example, if there was an article in the Galveston News about Mesilla, no one would have found it before.
Yeah.
But now you can find it.
Well, yeah. I looked there, yeah, but now you can because it's indexed, et cetera.
That's right.
And the computers are fun to work with because you can find anything that way. Well, a lot goes on here. Now, you said you started the book basically with his escape from Lincoln. And for those who don't know, Billy the Kid, like you said, killed two people getting away. But he was shackled to the floor, wasn't he?
No, he wasn't shackled. We talked briefly about whether he had found a gun in the latrine outside or not because he had just returned from the latrine. Pat Garrett has a pretty good account of.
But I mean,
generally,
he was shackled. Otherwise,
he was handcuffed and he was shackled, but he wasn't shackled to anything.
Oh, I thought I've been up there. I thought I saw the thing in the floor. They said he was tied to that.
Well, he was not when he escaped.
No. When he escaped, he was free on at the latrine.
Yeah,
I get that. But I mean,
hard to drag the floor with.
Generally speaking, he didn't get to wander around up in there.
No, they were using the courthouse as a jail because they didn't have a jail at the time. And there was two rooms they were using the jail. They kept him in the room they considered the most secure, and then they had another room where they had some other prisoners. But piecing together the accounts as I do in my book, and of course there's some controversy, evidently coming back from the latrine, he scurried up the stairs ahead of Bell. Bell was the deputy that had gone with him to the latrine. Ollinger had gone across the street with the other prisoners to take them to lunch. And he got up the stairs ahead of Bell. And based on what Garrett and a number of the newspapers at the time say, he evidently got a gun, either got a gun out of the armory that was upstairs, or he was able to get the gun from Bell. And he shot Bell on the stairs. The bullet, as you know, is still in the wall there in the Lincoln courthouse.
Historically, that was very smart to leave that there.
That was very smart.
I'm surprised it hasn't been dug out sometime along the lines.
Well, it's under glass or something, I'll bet now.
Yeah, it is. It's behind a glass.
Yeah.
But there's old pictures of it. It's been there quite a while.
So that went through Bell and into the wall and it's still there.
Yeah, he fired two bullets against Bell. And Garrett talks about the autopsy, the coroner's report in his book. And I quote that sort of stuff. There's some information in there that, for some reason, other historians didn't bring forward. That kind of clarifies that and gets away from the myth that maybe, for example, a gun had been smuggled into him or something. And then, of course, as everyone knows, once he had shot Bell, he broke into the armory. He got Ollinger's shotgun. Ollinger had been involved in bringing him down from Mesilla, where he had been convicted, to Lincoln. And he went out, and from the window in the courthouse, Olinger came running over from across the street.
He heard the shots, first shots. Yeah.
And he shot him.
Oh, boy.
And he actually headed in for Olinger. Afterwards, he said he regretted killing Bell, but he never regretted killing Olinger.
No, yeah, because Olinger was supposedly pretty mean to him.
He abused him, evidently, by contemporaneous accounts. It took him 6 days to transport him from Mesilla to Lincoln by wagon, and Olinger was one of the deputies that did it.
Well, wasn't Olinger also friends with some of the people that were killed during the Lincoln Wars?
Olinger was basically on the other side in the Lincoln County Wars.
Well, that's the whole point of what was going on up there. It was cattle wars, was it not? It was over cattle?
It was a complete war. It was political. It was economic. It was over land. It was just personal. And it lasted about 2 years. And what's kind of interesting, if you think about the battle at the OK Corral, that was over in about 2 minutes.
Why, less than that? It was like 30 seconds, I'm told.
Yeah
and
Wyatt,
nothing.
That's Wyatt Earp's reputation is based on that primarily.
Yeah, they got
the
movie.
He's a good PR guy.
They got the better movie, right, Melissa? I mean,
and Wyatt Earp was a good PR man when it came down to it. He worked for LA Times at that time and got his story out.
And we know about Billy the Kid. There was New York dime novels that came out about him.
Yes, there were. And the other thing, the information out on Wyatt Earp was far more accurate from the very beginning. For example, the Mesilla paper published an account of the OK Corral gunfight within 4 days of the fight.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Billy the Kid stuff, until the serious historian started out, Burns was the first one with his book, The Saga of Billy Kid, in 1926. It was a mess.
Yeah.
And the other triangle piece of that would be El Paso for the gunfight history of the Old West. It's amazing what happened here.
Oh, and the four
dead
and five. Now, that hit the New York papers also.
Yeah, it was
not
a big,
long afterwards. So that was a big thing, yeah.
So you've got to have a triangle there of the Lincoln Wars, and Mesilla has got to be part of that. So there's that. Anyway, we'll get to more of that. We got David Thomas in here, and he's a guy that did the book, Billy the Kid's Grave. And also, it's talking about the guy who was a hermit up on top of the Oregon Mountains.
Yes.
That's the name of that. The name of that book is Giovanni Maria di Agostini.
Agostini.
Did I say that
close
to right?
Yes.
And so that guy's one book. And you've got La Posta, which is now a restaurant, but it's always been something important.
And that book is really a history of Mesilla.
Okay.
And also the border, the Gadsden Purchase.
And The Screen with a Voice. What do you think that's all about?
That is a history of all the movie theaters in Las Cruces, and it turns out there's been 21. And oddly enough, I discovered that the drive-in theater was invented in Las Cruces.
Listen to that claim.
See, this region's so full of firsts, I can't believe it.
Drive-in
theaters
invented in Las Cruces, because by what year did they have cars?
Well, the drive-in theater was invented in 1914. That was pretty early. It had spaces for 10 cars. Of course, we were talking about silent movies back then.
You're talking about Model Ts as well.
Probably weren't too many more.
That's probably all the cars in Las Cruces.
Now, would you take a wagon with horses into one of those?
I would imagine you would.
I don't think they would. There's nothing in the paper about permitting wagons. So they had that particular theater had seats for 200 people. It was an outdoor theater. It was called the Air Dome.
Oh, so you would have sat.
You could drive up to it.
Yeah.
All right, these are the books that David has done.
That's fun.
So we're going to get more into this after the break. We've got to do some trivia here. And guess what the trivia is about? It's about Billy the Kid. Yeah. What a surprise. So, David, sit for a minute and be the judge on whether the callers get this right.
That's right.
Because
okay, gang.
We often think they do, and then if you're the judge, it's even better. So what do you got here, Melissa? I'm giving away the stuff here.
Okay, well, we're giving away $20 in food to Pepe's in up in Canutillo. They're great New Mexican food, or a El Paso Gold DVD, which today we've got Legends of the Mountains, Ghost Stories 4 and 3.
I brought Waco Tanks in.
Waco Tanks.
I brought some in.
Celebration of Cultures, El Paso Gunfights, the Old West, but just the best one because I'm in it.
Of course.
Tom Lee's and my husband.
You're in Ghost 3
I'm
as well.
In everything, too.
But also these books.
And the books, which give it to me because I'm blind in my old age. Okay, Billy the Kid's Grave, Screen with a Voice, Giovanni Maria de Agostini, and La Posta.
That's a hermit dude.
Yeah, that's the hermit dude. And so you got some great choices today, gang. So you got to answer the question.
And the questions are,
where was Billy the Kid generally thought to have been born? In what state?
Oh, that's
come on,
easy.
That's an easy one.
The hands have gone up in the control room
I know,
in there. But
no,
you can't can't call yourself Shelley. Don't stop it.
Again.
Go ahead and ask the second question. We'll take either one in order, but one question per person.
Where did Billy the Kid's mother die?
We said that earlier.
That's right. So you better be listening.
Oh, she doesn't know that one in there. It's on the paper here. So, and how do you get this?
They can call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Hi, I'm Mark Israel, owner of Donut Plant. I used 80,000 points from my Chase Inc. business card to make the latest food craze, the Ripple Donut. Now it's making headlines. NYC's best, raves the New York Post. Donut Plant has outdone itself, says Spoon University. And Grub Street says it will light up your Instagram.
What will you create with your points? Visit chase.com/ink to learn more about Inc. Business Preferred. Chase for business, so you can.
Real business owner compensated for use of his actual statements. Credit cards are issued by Chase Bank USA N.A. Restrictions and limitations apply.
The Bishop, Lady May, Grace. In just a few days, they're all back. On Wednesday, the Greenleaf family returns with a brand new season. From executive producer Oprah Winfrey, this critically acclaimed drama has been hailed as excellent, thoughtful, absorbing, and juicy as hell. You can relive all of season one on Netflix now, just in time for the season premiere event on Wednesday at 10, 9 Central, only on OWN. This season, the Greenleaf Kingdom will be divided.
Don't you hate it when you're doing your taxes and that so-called free tax site hits you with a $70 charge before you file? $70 doesn't sound very free. Well, now there's Credit Karma Tax. Credit Karma Tax is really, truly, completely free from beginning to end. Itemized deductions, rental income, 1099s for self-employment, state and federal filing. It's all included. This year, file your taxes for free and keep your full tax refund at creditkarma.com/tax. Free to start, free to finish. Credit Karma Tax.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas. When I was playing ball, they called me the Big Hurt. But after I left the game, Mother Nature started putting a big hurt on me. I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, it wasn't my fault. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. But luckily, I found out about Nugenics.
Nugenics is a unique man-boosting formula powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help boost your free testosterone levels. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting ENERGY to 321-321. With Nugenics, you can feel stronger, leaner, with a lot more stamina and energy.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenics is GNC's number one selling men's vitality product. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting ENERGY to 321-321. Nugenics samples are not available in stores. So again, text ENERGY to 321-321.
As entrepreneurs, you're always on the go. That's why they created Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. Get all the features of a business phone system and the freedom of a cell phone with their mobile apps. See how it works at grasshopper.com. Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system.
More of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
I got a symposium on the brain here coming to El Paso this
week.
Symposium on the brain. This will be all about the Southern Trails chapters of the Oregon-California Trails Association. They're saying any trail that made it to California is a California trail.
That's right.
What a position of reference to be
well,
from.
Well, hey, I'm from California. That's
oh,
how
you
we
would, you would say that also.
That's
huh?
right.
Anyway, topics of Spanish in the Southwest on the Mission Trail, Military Trail San Antonio to Concordia, Fort Davis, the Camels in the Southwest, Victorio Campaign, the Butterfield Golf Course was on the trail. There's all kinds of stuff going on there. Waco Tank, Camino Real, and then El Paso to Douglas, Mesilla Plaza. There's all kinds of stuff going on, and they're connecting Las Cruces, El Paso, and all of our valley with it. Give these people a call, see what they're doing about it. It's going to be held at the Sunland Park location. What is this? It's the Country Inn and Suites now.
Yeah.
No longer the Holiday Inn over there, but that's the same thing. 833-2900 if you want to get a hold of them. But Cecilia Bell is the one that talked us into talking about this. Call her, 575-956-3294. And they've got field trips all over the place. And
great speakers. I got Ron Ely.
Glenn's coming.
Glenn, Patricia's speaking, and they got some great speakers. It'll be wonderful.
Okay, what do you? We got callers on hold here, by the way.
I know. Hey, if you want to see some dead people, or do you want to hear about them? We've got some downtown El Paso ghost tours coming up Saturday, March 18th, from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the Wigwam Museum at 110 East San Antonio. History, legends, and lures come to life in downtown El Paso. The Ghost 915. You can learn about the dark tales of history and paranormal of the six-shooter capital of the world. You can investigate the basement of the Wigwam Museum, and it's only $15. They've also got the haunted pub crawl coming up. Of course, I usually went up in a pub crawl. It's like, that'll be March the 25th, and they're going to meet at the Gardner Hotel, which is a very cool place. It's a historic hotel. And History, Legends, Allure of the Downtown El Paso continue with a new adventure. They're going to start at the Gardner Hotel, and they're going to go to different pubs around town, and they're going to toast the ghosts all over. And so, that again, that's going to be March 25th, and I got to turn the page. Oh, no, you can give them a call at 274-9531 or go to help at ghosts915.com for more information.
If you have a paranormals, how many is that?
That's
Don't ask that. Okay, we're going to go to Brian on the radio here. Brian, we got a question for you. Brian, you ready for this?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Melissa.
Okay, where was Billy the Kid generally thought to have been born? What state was that?
New York City.
Yes, New York. Enough of that. But that's an old Chili commercial. Anyway, so you got that one correct, and we got... We are correct, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. We throw to our judge in the corner here, Dave Thomas, and so you are correct about that. And what would you like to get? Because you can get one of these books here.
We have a myriad of gifts today.
We got the books today. We got the DVDs. We got the Peppies. What's your pleasure?
One of the books.
Okay. The book that we're talking about mainly today is Billy the Kid's Grave. I presume that might be your number one choice. Would that be fair to say?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Either one of them.
Well, okay. Now, well, so the next guy might want Billy the Kid's Grave.
So I want Billy the Kid's Grave.
Okay,
in that case, you get that one. And we'll even get the author to sign it for you.
That's right.
So this would be Brian on the phone here, but this goes to Brian.
Good.
All right, Brian, well, thank you for that. Now, that was an easy question, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it was really easy.
We're trying to give these away, if you know.
But he pays attention. That's a good thing.
I hope you enjoy it.
And also, we're going to do a book signing today at Pepe's, so we can't give you this book today. Because you have to come over to iHeart to pick it up, because we're giving it away on the radio. It's one of those rules things. But if you want to meet the author and see what's going on and look at the other books, you can come out to Pepe's today. So put yourself on hold here, and Shelly will pick up. Thanks a lot. Thanks for playing here. All right, Shelly, we got another player here. Is this one named Bob? Bob is on five. Bob. Oh, I'm sorry. Who am I looking for here? John. Is that John you want me to go to? John. John's on five. Hi, John.
Hi.
Hey, John.
How's life in the fast lane, John?
Oh, pretty slow.
we're gonna pick it up here. We got three more books left and a question.
We have a different question for you.
I can answer the question. Oh,
okay, where did Billy's mother die?
Well, she died of tuberculosis in Silver City, New Mexico.
Oh, he's a show off.
Have you written books on this?
No, but I have studied Billy the Kid for most of my adult life.
Does he know what year and what month?
Oh gosh!
you get the prize anyway.
You win anyway.
Yeah, we're going to give it to you.
Before I became a senior citizen, I could tell you the answer.
We know how that works. Well, you got that right because he did get that right.
Yes.
Okay,
did.
David Thomas.
I have a question for your guest.
Sure.
When I was an undergrad at UTEP, a female friend of mine wrote her history thesis on Billy the Kid. And she had come up with accounts placing him in two parts of the state at the same time committing crimes.
Oh, my.
And she proposed that there was more than one kid.
Oh, no.
There were some other people called the Kid, not as famous as him, but as someone who's read probably about 10,000 issues of the early New Mexico papers and related papers over the last 10 years or so, I've never come across anything in which he's shown to be in two locations at the same time.
A different kid, maybe.
But there were different people known as the Kid.
There you go. That may be your explanation there.
That's exactly what she said. She said that he was accused of crimes he didn't commit.
Oh, that's very common. There was true. And,
well, also,
and
he was accused of killings he didn't do. You said he was supposedly 21 killings, but no.
Yes. He was accused of killing Indians and all kinds of things that were absolutely never true.
Yeah, a lot of that going on. To get the, we can't give you that book today, but we can give you one of these others. Because we're out of that book. We
or got, $20 in or, food to Pepe's?
Pepe's or these
or
other three books.
Or a DVD?
DVD. What's your pleasure here, senor?
I'd love to have a book.
Okay, we've got the...
What's left here?
Ooh, hold on, let me flip this. We have Screen with a Voice about the history of the theaters in Las Cruces. Giovanna Maria de Agostini, who is the hermit from the mountains up there in La Posta.
Well, how about the book about the theaters in Las Cruces? I never knew there had been 21.
Okay.
Well, perfect. Not only that, we didn't know that the drive-ins were invented in Las Cruces, New Mexico.
No one knew there were 21, even I, when I started.
How about them
okay,
apples?
Well
all right,
then,
got yourself a book here.
And we'll have it personalized.
Oh, and the other guy dropped off. We were going to ask them to ask us a question. John took off, I guess it was. No, that was Bob. Bob took off. Anyway, all right, put yourself on hold. Shelley will tell you how to pick it up, all right?
All right, thank you.
Thanks for playing
listening.
Here. Appreciate it. And this is what we do here. You've heard this before. But we give away whatever we can, and then we scrape up the difference and do it next week. So it goes. Needing a break here, shall we do
yes,
that?
Yes, we need a break.
And people can call us or Facebook us. That's Facebook
yeah,
looking
today. Yeah, our El Paso History Radio Show on Facebook. And it's been kind of quiet. I think people are too interested in listening and what's going on today.
But also, Barbara Given Baney was posting stuff even yesterday.
Yes, she was.
About some of the things that we're talking about. I think she got an old picture of La Posta up there.
Mm-hmm.
And on, did she put that on our site yet? I know she's got it on Remember in El Paso When.
Right.
Have you seen that one? Oh, you got to go to this one. It's got like 28,000 members plus, but they post all these archive pictures that you've never heard of before. And do you know where they get some of these? El Paso Electric, back in the day when they were putting electric utility poles all over the West, they would send a photographer ahead and take pictures in four directions wherever they were going to put a pole. And I think they were covering their little legal buns. But in the meantime, they got some historic pictures that way that are all over the place, and these people have them. Those are posted everywhere.
And thanks to Barbara for doing that.
What a wonderful, wonderful source. I wish I'd known about that earlier.
Oh, you need to do that. I mean, you'd be amazed.
It's called Remember in El Paso When on Facebook.
And other people share their pictures. So it's just like it's a great big community of sharing pictures.
And the shoeboxes that come out of nowhere with all kinds of pictures just show up over there.
And our guest is on the picture, on the Facebook page right now for El Paso History Radio Show.
We'll have to look at you in a minute here by computer. Call us up if you need to.
915-544-5876. 915-544-KTSM.
This weekend only, the Corporate Buick GMC used car $1 down sale. That's right, $1 down and you're driving. The finest collection of used cars, trucks, and SUVs in the city. Hurry for best selection. Prices are slashed and painted clearly on the windshield. Or click on the CrawfordBuickGMC.com. Expedited credit approval, the best financing options, and the friendliest professional sales team in the business. Right now, during the Crawford used car $1 down sale. CrawfordBuickGMC.com, Montana and Airway. If you haven't shopped Crawford used cars, you're not done shopping.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-224-5353. That's 1-800-224-5353. 1-800-224-5353. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all. Plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Here's former pro football linebacker Ben Lieber.
Bipro is the highest quality whey protein isolate you can buy. It's 20 power pack grams of pure protein per serving. Never any fillers, sugars, or additives, and it's naturally sweetened. It's what you need to build and maintain muscle. Right now, go to BiproUSA.com, and when you buy one 2-pound jar of Bipro, you get a case of Bipro protein water for free with the promo code IHEART, plus you get free shipping. It's BiproUSA.com. Buy one 2-pound jar, get a case of protein water for free and free shipping with the promo code IHEART. Bipro, lean, clean protein.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
More of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com. For DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Got David Thomas online now. You put him up on Facebook.
Yep. Oh, the, do you have cough drops?
What's that?
I have cough drops.
Oh. Is that exciting? What does that say?
Oh, it's Halls.
Oh, okay.
But you need one.
But in the meantime, we're having David on the radio here.
Okay.
So, life being what it is, let's talk about a lot of things.
Oh.
We're on the air. You didn't realize that. You offered me a cough drop. I'm trying to tell you.
Hello, everyone.
You're next to talk. Okay. But in the meantime, on April 1, here's something to talk about. The El Paso Municipal Police Officers Association. They're hosting a car show honoring all of El Paso police officers that have paid the ultimate sacrifice while in the line of duty. They were talking about one about a year ago, and his anniversary was this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is a worthy thing. We don't normally do fundraisers for groups, but this one we're going to do. Because
it's a worthwhile group.
They're committed to making the first annual Fallen Officers Memorial Car Show a huge success. And what they do with it, they hate to do this, but they're going to make the memorial a little bigger.
Yeah.
They got more need, so they're going to remodel and rebuild the thing. And that's at Chuck Heinrich Memorial Park in Northeast. And he was a fallen officer himself. So anyway, get involved in this. It's sad, but it's real. Anyway, contact Eloy Cerna, and that's a 915-494-1710, 494-1710, if you have questions or would like to get involved.
Harvey Girls. We're talking about them again because our history lessons every week we talk about them. They're going to be meeting Monday, March 13th at the Union Station passenger section down at 700 San Francisco mm-hmm. Street from 2 to 4 p.m. Their program this time is the Collections of the Fred Harvey Legacy. And you can listen to the whistle of freight trains while smelling the smoke and the cinders of the trains as they roll through historic downtown El Paso. Visitors, of course, are welcome. And for more information, you can call 915-591-2326. And then El Paso Corral of the Westerners International, number 26, will meet Friday, March 17th at the Country Inn and Suites at Sunland Park Drive. And their program is going to be Dr. Glenn Sample Ely, and he will present Stage Line Fort Davis to Fort Bliss. He's partnering with the Southern Trails chapter of the Oregon California Trails Association at the El Paso Symposium. Program and cost is only $20, and that's your dinner and everything. It's going to be a great event. And you must RSVP to 759-9538 by March 13th. The Railroad Model and Historical Association of El Paso will have their first 2017 open house noon to 5 p.m. daily, Saturday, March 18th, and Sunday, March 19th. Visitors can see multiple trains running on various scales, N, H, O, and O, plus now there's running a Lego table. The train yards are located at 6335 Vaughn Court, and there's no admission charge. And for more information, call 751-6213. That'd be a great family day. Take the kids down there.
Barbara put something up on, I guess it's our page, and that is the, is it our page? No, mm-hmm. She put it up in Remember El Paso When, and she's got the picture of the Dripping Springs having rich history with El Hermitillo. Let's talk about that for a minute, because that's another one of your books, Dave Thomas. Dave, is it David or Dave?
Dave.
Dave. Well, you have a bunch of books. We've got four here that we're talking about. The main one is the Billy the Kid's Grave. But this other one about the Hermit, let's get into that for just a second.
Okay, yeah. I spent 5 years on that book. The Hermit, of course, Hermit's Peak in Las Vegas is named after him.
Las Vegas, New Mexico?
Yes, Las Vegas, New Mexico. It's actually a fairly famous individual in New Mexico history. What I found is that virtually everything that we knew about him in this country was wrong. I discovered that he had traveled extensively in South America. He was born in Italy in 1801. He went to South America in 1830. He basically circumnavigated the continent twice. He went down the Amazon by canoe.
Jeez.
And to this day...
He still got all his toes?
Well, yes. He was oddly enough, he was born with a crippled left hand, and there's only two known photographs of him. One of them, if you examine closely, you can see he's got the crippled hand. It's odd that nobody that ever wrote about him in this country ever mentioned his crippled hand. But he was killed in the La Cueva Mountains, in the Oregon Mountains, living in the La Cueva Cave. In 1869, he was tortured and killed by the Indians. There are many other theories, but I pretty much prove that it was the Indians that did him.
What's La Cueva Cave?
La Cueva means the cave in Spanish.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
Now, so, why was he traveling? He just was a wanderer?
Nobody knew. They knew he was a religious hermit. No one knew his purpose.
Okay, he was a religious.
But I discovered his purpose. And what he would do, he would go and he would live as a hermit, using his life as an example, and he would collect around him a number of followers, and eventually he would establish a community. And I've got two sets of rules that he wrote up, and a religious community, one from Brazil and one from Las Vegas, New Mexico. And once he'd done that, he would move on. And so he intended to move. He was killed, like I say, there in the mountains above Mesilla, but he intended to move from there to the Sacramento Mountains next. But
so he's kind of like an apostle in a sense.
In a way he was, but he was not connected with the church. He was independent of the church, and he had a certain the church looked upon him suspiciously. He was actually a Maronite Christian, which is a very rare group of Christians that come out of Syria.
Yeah.
And so he's a world traveler dude and end up here.
What happened was after he left South America, he went to Mexico. I found articles about him from the 1860s in the Mexican press. Then he went to Cuba. In Cuba, he was given the nickname Wonder of the Century. And he was a spectacular success in Cuba. He was a celebrity. And one of the two pictures was taken of him there. From there, he went to New York City. Then he went all across Canada. And he came down through the United States during the Civil War, walking. Of course, just about everywhere he went, he walked. And he spent about 3 years in Las Vegas. And then from there, he came down to Mesilla, came down to El Paso for a little while, went into Mexico for a little while, went back up to Mesilla, and that's where he was killed.
That's fascinating, being a Maronite. I mean, they're one of the oldest sects.
Yes, and it was started by a guy named St. Maron. Mm-hmm. And it only became part of the Catholic, where it only started recognizing the Pope in the 1500s.
Yeah, a lot later.
There's pictures all over this book. Are some of these yours?
All my books have many, many pictures. The least in any of them is about 65 pictures. Many of them have 100 or more pictures.
Well, this cave is not actually up in the rocks. It's down at the bottom of the rocks.
It's at the base, but if you drive along, you can see it. It's a rock formation there, sandstone formation. You can see it from miles away.
Okay, what can you buy these books?
Of course, you can get them on Amazon.
Amazon, there you go.
And there are some in the local bookstores and
so on. Any hardback books?
No, they're all paperback.
All paperback. But Amazon has them, and Coast Books, I'm guessing, no?
Coast Books has them, the bookstore in the Mesilla Plaza, the museum in Fort Sumner. There's a number of places I'm working on getting them in.
Cool.
Other places.
So this is the one we're talking about is the Hermit. Let's go back now for a minute. We'll get to this again, but I just want to bring that up. But the Billy the Kid business, I mean, we haven't even touched the main part of the book, have we?
No. In fact, I'll just give you one of the interesting episodes. At one point, the Fort Sumner Cemetery, the land around it was sold for failure to pay taxes in the 30s during the Depression. And the person that bought the land thought he bought the cemetery. And so he got out his tractor, and he plowed a big ditch through the middle of it, and he was going to irrigate it, and he was going to cultivate it, evidently.
Uh-huh,
well,
uh-huh.
There are many, many family members of people who lived in Fort Sumner buried there. There was a tremendous outcry. There was a big community meeting. There was a call to talk to the governor of New Mexico, who showed up, and eventually there was a lawsuit. And as a result of the lawsuit... of course, he never had right to the property.
Oh, bummer.
But the lawsuit specified that he didn't have any right. He had no more right to the property than a member of the public, was what the court ruled.
So who owns it?
So it's so then it became public property, essentially owned by nobody, and in a and then in the 60s it was turned into a state park.
In the 1960s?
Yes, the 1960s.
So, and who else is buried there? I mean, there's got to be other people.
I document 117. Previous historians have only known about 28. 16 of the people buried there are very, very closely connected to Billy the Kid, including his probable girlfriend.
Who was?
Who was Paulita Maxwell.
Okay, Maxwell is big on this. We need to talk about Maxwell.
Yes. Lucy and Maxwell, of course, probably had owned at one time owned more land than anyone else in the United States ever has. The Maxwell land grant extended from northern New Mexico into Colorado. He eventually sold that for quite a bit of money.
Where do you get a grant like that? I mean,
from Mexico.
Mexico, not Spain.
He actually, the grant was awarded to his wife's father. And he got it through inheritance with his wife and by buying out his wife's brothers and sisters. He eventually sold it and bought Fort Sumner. And that's where the Billy Kid, and he had died by the time that Billy the Kid was killed, but his son Pete Maxwell was the main person in Fort Sumner at that point.
We're almost on another break here, but tell us what happened when Billy got killed. There was a lot of details you have
here. It was a pure accident in a way. Pat Garrett, of course, had been looking for Billy. He wasn't looking that hard, oddly enough. He had heard that Billy was hanging around Fort Sumner. One of the things we'll have to talk about is why he didn't go to Mexico, why he was in Fort Sumner.
Why Billy didn't go. Yeah.
Yes, why Billy didn't go. Pat Garrett comes in the afternoon. They hide in the orchard waiting for dark. And he had heard, he thought that Pete Maxwell may have had some idea where Billy was. And so with his two deputies, he went up to the to Pete Maxwell's room. The two deputies stayed outside. He went in and was sitting on the bed. Pete Maxwell was in bed talking to him when Billy the Kid came over. He had just come into Fort Sumner. He was in his stocking feet. He was coming over to the house. There was some beef hanging on the porch. He was going to cut himself a slice of beef. He walked in. He saw the two deputies. He was a little upset by that. He had a drawn gun, handgun. He walked in. He asked Pete Maxwell, "Kenneth, who is it?" Garrett recognized his voice, fired at him from the hip, hit him in the heart, fired a second bullet, which missed him. They all ran out of the room, and at first they wasn't sure whether Billy was killed or not. They were afraid to go in and possibly be shot. Garrett was absolutely lucky to catch him in that spot. If he'd found him any other circumstances, there would have been a gunfight, and who knows who would have won.
If Billy had been aware of what was going on, but he wasn't. Interesting stuff. All right. We're talking about a book, and I just gave it away. Where did it go? It's called Billy the Kid's Grave, and that book is the one we're pushing today in a big way because that's you can do a book signing today.
Yes.
Out at Pepe's, 6761 Donovan, and we'll go out there and have lunch. And buy a book, buy lunch, and hang out with us. We'll be out there after a while. Melissa, you're going to make it out there, right?
Yes, I am.
And the resident historian, Bernard, will be there.
Yes, Bernardo will be following along shortly.
Indeed. All kinds of pictures in this book. Here is the gold badge given to Pat Garrett by Colonel Albert Fountain.
Yes, that's one of the myths that have been told about Garrett that I proved to be wrong. Some historians say that Garrett never received his award. There was a $500 reward offered for killing Billy. The acting governor at the time refused to give it to him, but the legislature a year later passed a special act. But the cities in New Mexico eventually raised about $7,000 for Garrett, so he got about $7,500 for killing Billy, plus Colonel Fountain gave him a gold badge, and that's the picture you have.
All right, I'm going to take a break, come back, talk more about this before the news. Wait, this is not the news break here coming up here. But Facebook is active, is it not?
Yes, it is. In fact, I'm working with something else right now. I can't see the page, but people have been responding to us and putting up things, and so I'll get back to it later.
Fair enough. 544-5876
or 544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
I used 80,000 points from my Chase Inc. business card to make the latest food craze, the Ripple Donut. Now it's making headlines. NYC's best, raves the New York Post. Donut Planet has outdone itself, says Spoon University. And Grub Street says it will light up your Instagram.
What will you create with your points? Visit chase.com/ink to learn more about Inc. Business Preferred.
Chase for business, so you can.
Real business owner compensated for use of his actual statements. Credit cards are issued by Chase Bank USA N.A. Restrictions and limitations apply.
The Bishop, Lady May, Grace. In just a few days, they're all back. On Wednesday, the Greenleaf family returns with a brand new season. From executive producer Oprah Winfrey, this critically acclaimed drama has been hailed as excellent, thoughtful, absorbing, and juicy as hell. You can relive all of season one on Netflix now, just in time for the season premiere event on Wednesday at 10, 9 Central, only on OWN. This season, the Greenleaf Kingdom will be divided.
Don't you hate it when you're doing your taxes and that so-called free tax site hits you with a $70 charge before you file? $70 doesn't sound very free. Well, now there's Credit Karma Tax. Credit Karma Tax is really, truly, completely free from beginning to end. Itemized deductions, rental income, 1099s for self-employment, state and federal filing. It's all included. This year, file your taxes for free and keep your full tax refund at creditkarma.com/tax. Free to start, free to finish. Credit Karma Tax.
iHeartRadio does something no other app or website can do. Thousands of live radio stations you can take anywhere. Want to listen to that station in Denver, but you're in Philly? No problem. In Austin, but you miss Seattle? No problem. Plus, iHeartRadio lets you create your own custom artist stations.
Hey, this is Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue on iHeartRadio.
Just type in the artist you love, and iHeartRadio creates a station just for you. Free radio and unlimited music all in one app. iHeartRadio.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson
Facebook.
Polk.
Melissa has a question from Facebook, right?
I got a couple of them, yeah.
What are they?
Well, Jesus Chuy Martinez is asking, he says, "Sir, during your research, did you come across any information on Billy the Kid breaking his friend out of San Elizario County Jail? Also, did Billy the Kid have any children?"
Well, both of those are controversial. The story about breaking out of the jail in San Elizario, the source of that is Burns' 1926 book, The Saga of Billy the Kid, and that's based on oral story. No one's been able to my knowledge, been able to find any other documentation for that. So, you know, the story's a little unclear about that.
And about children,
and
do we know?
There are two families that claim descendants of Billy the Kid. One family claims that he had a son, and that family lives in Santa Rosa. There's another family that lives around in the Lincoln area that claims he has a daughter. It's very unclear. I'm fairly skeptical myself. There's a story that he had a couple of, at least one daughter that died fairly young. So it's a little unclear. When we talk about Billy the Kid's girlfriends and so on, I can give you a little bit additional information on that. But
we'll take that up second hour.
Yeah. Also, the other question is, how do you feel about historian Drew Gomber and Bob Bozbel and their history on Billy the Kid?
Well, of course, they're outstanding historians. They're primary historians, people that go to primary sources. There's very little that you could find that they don't more or less prove in their books.
Oh, I got one for you. Phone call.
And that was
here.
From Vince Sanchez.
Vince wanted to. Okay, yeah. Real quick, we got a caller coming up, Mr. Silva.
Yes. How y'all doing?
Good morning.
Good, good. Yeah, I was hearing on the radio, over the air here, and about that hermit that was roaming around near Mesilla.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You know, my grandfather that was once living there, he actually saw him and even communicated with him, you know. And he had a horse, I believe, you know. And every time he looked more like he was like a revolutionist, and he would say something about Pancho Villa, Viva Villa. And he would have, and when he would do his, like, when the sun was going down and stuff like that, you know, he would do that. And he would have chickens, and he would have cows and cattle and everything. And he would do his own cooking and stuff like that. You know, he would also live like in a cave.
Like in a hermit. Well, appreciate you thinking about that and calling us up. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.
We're about out of here for this hour. Dave Thomas is here. We're going to talk more about it. A book signing at Pepe's, and today only. How much is the books?
Today only, I'm going to offer them for $10 a piece. They normally range between $15 and $17, and I feel like if you show up, if you're willing to show up in the first hour or so, I'll be happy to sell any of the four for 10 each.
These are interesting books. $10 a book today at Pepe's Only today.
Yes.
Pepe's, 6761 Donovan, a book signing we're going to have out there. And Melissa Sargent, we got to come back next hour and do this.
That's
all
right.
Because we have not finished with the books.
We're not done with him yet.
And we're not done with Billy at all.
That's right.
Hey, by the way, thank you in the control room there, Shelley Sutherland, putting up with the abuse, and us and the callers. Sergio Valenzuela is engineer in charge. Thank you, guys. See you next hour.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. We'll be right back after the news right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.